Tonight's learning is sponsored by Joel Dickstein in memory of his mother, Devorah Gilda, Bas Leibel Zichrona Levracha, by Sherry Klein in memory of her father, Yaakov Meir ben Shmuel Leib Zichrona Levracha, and by Esther Levin Brown in memory of her mother, Sarah Mindel, Bas Avram Zichrona Levracha. I want to start a new Shaila tonight. It's a Shaila that will be actually a multi-week Shaila. We'll talk about it tonight and tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem, into next week as well. And those are questions. It's really not a single Shaila. I've received several questions recently pertaining to eating and drinking before davening. What are the halachos governing eating and drinking before davening? And I want to discuss some of those halachos beginning tonight. Like I said, extending through next week. And tonight, we'll really just begin with the basics. What is the issue? The potential issue with eating and drinking before davening, where does it come from, what's its source, what's its basis, and then we'll begin discussing what some of the ramifications are. The source for this is a Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Amud Beis, which says that one is indeed not supposed to eat before davening. Now, the first question that we ask with any halacha, Rav Shechter is very fond of saying, whenever there's a halacha, the first and most basic piece of information that you can have, that you need to determine, is whether it is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. This prohibition of eating before davening, is it a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? So the truth is, from the Gemara itself, it is not entirely clear. The Gemara begins by quoting a pasuk. Ordinarily, when a pasuk is quoted, that's a pretty good indication that we are dealing with a din d'oraisa. When you quote a pasuk from the Torah, and that serves as its source, then chances are it is a biblical din. It's a biblical mitzvah and halacha. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina quotes Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, "My dechsev lo sochlu al hadam, do not eat on blood, lo sochtu kodem shadispalalu al dimchem. Don't eat before you have prayed for your blood or for your health." Now, the drasha itself is a little bit of a strange drasha. That's not really what pshat in the pasuk means. What does pshat in the pasuk mean? It's a pasuk from Vayikra Perek Yates, from Parshas Achrimos. Don't eat on top of the blood. The context of the parsha is a discussion of various darchei ha'emori, various practices that you're supposed to avoid because of the fact that the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, the polytheistic, paganistic inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael would engage in those practices. It talks about sorcery and witchcraft and avoiding all of those things. And the Mefarshim argue that that's probably the same thing going on here. Lo sochel al adam is a reference to some other practice of sorcery or witchcraft. The Rashbam says when somebody would die, they would go to the kever and they would have blood over the kever in some kind of occult practice. And the pshat of the pasuk is telling you, don't engage in that. But we have this drasha, also don't eat before you have prayed for your dam, for your health. That is one source that is provided in the Gemara. Then the Gemara actually provides a second source, and this is something that certainly next week we're going to come back to extensively. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Bar Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Again, it's quoting Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov again. Kol ocha v'shosa achar kam espala, lo v'kasav omer, v'osi hoshlachta acharei govecha, atachrei govecha, ela gei echa. Here we have a pasuk quoted from Nevi'im, not from the Torah itself, where there's again a drasha that asserts that eating before you pray is a form of gaiva. You're taking care of your own needs before you're speaking to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's an elevation of self that's considered to be inappropriate. It's a form of gaiva, and therefore it should not be done. Now again, based on the Gemara itself, is it a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha in Aruch Chaim Siman Peites, and the Beis Yosef, in his commentary on the tour, he writes that the pashtus is that this is a din midrabbanan. And we will see that there will be halachic ramifications of that as we move forward. He says, most Rishonim assume that it is a din d'rabbanan. But it is worth noting that that is not a universally held opinion. The exception to this is Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam seems to maintain that it is a din d'oraisa, because a pasuk is quoted. Now, most Rishonim say, okay, a pasuk is quoted, but again, it's not the simple meaning of the pasuk, as we said a moment ago. So it's what we call an asmachta ba'alma. It's a hint to a din d'rabbanan, but come on, that's not a real din d'oraisa. The Rambam argues that it is. And he actually has an extensive discussion of this pasuk in his Shorashim to the Sefer HaMitzvos under the category of Lav Shebechlelos. In the Rambam's Shorashim of the Sefer HaMitzvos, at the very beginning of the Rambam's count of the 613 mitzvos, he outlines 14 principles as to what is worthy of inclusion in the Taryag, what should be counted as one of the 613 mitzvos, and what is not worthy of inclusion, what should not be counted among the 613 mitzvos. So Shorash Aleph, he begins by saying, we should only count mitzvos mida oraisa, and we shouldn't count mitzvos mida rabbanan. Lighting Hanukkah candles is not one of the 613 mitzvahs. You have to do it. It's a mitzvah derabbanan, but it shouldn't be counted among the Taryag because it's a mitzvah derabbanan, and he attacks the Bahag for including mitzvahs midrabbanan in his count. So the Rambam, again, he has all sorts of shorashim, all different rules for what should be counted and whatnot. It needs to be Mefarash Bakra, and it needs to be Le'olam, and it can't be a mitzvah that's only designated for a particular point in history. And then in Shorash Tess, the Rambam says, Lav Shebechlelos, he has all sorts of rules governing Lav Shebechlelos. It's perhaps the most difficult of all the Rambam Shorashim, where you have a pasuk that teaches you many, many different halachos. This pasuk of Lo Sochlu Al Adam, In the Gemara Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Gimel, many different halakos are learned from this one pasuk. Not just eating before davening, but also Eiver Menachai, and also the fact that you're not supposed to eat from a karban until the karban is finished, until there's Zrikas Adam on the karban. All of these halakos are learned from this single pasuk. And the Rambam says you're not going to count them all as separate mitzvos. He has all sorts of rules governing what should be included in the Taryag mitzvos and what not. However, that all being said, the Rambam is only entertaining this possibility because of the fact that it is apparently a mitzvah midaraisa. The Rambam already told us in Sharash Aleph, if it were a mitzvah midarabanan, then it would not be worthy of inclusion in the 613. So it seems like the Rambam, at the very least, holds that it is a din daraisa. But again, most Rishonim maintain that it is a din derabanan, and again, that will have halachic ramifications. Of course, whether it's din derais or din derabanan, of course, we have to keep the halacha, and it is indeed halachically binding. As I said earlier, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simen Pei Tesef Gimel says that you are not allowed to eat before davening, but of course, there are many shilos regarding the ramifications of it. So the first shiloh that comes up is, Rabbi, am I allowed to have my morning coffee before Shacharis in the morning? And the answer to that question, Be'ezus Hashem, we will discuss tomorrow. You can decide whether or not you want to come tomorrow, but Be'ezus Hashem, that will be a shiloh that we discuss tomorrow evening.